Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Glass, and I welcome you to the broadcast as I continue on in a message, Walking in Peace and Victory. And we've been looking at a number of scriptures, but been focusing on Psalm 37. And let me just share again, verse 1, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." And of course, I did say that many times we see that in our own lives. People we know personally, they're not serving the Lord, and they seem to have no problems. Whereas in your own life, you're doing everything you can to serve God, and things have just been very difficult. But, you know, we can also, just to encourage all of us, regardless of what your political standing is, it says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers." And you know what? We have a lot of evildoers that are in positions of leadership and government. But what does verse 2 say? "For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." There are those God allows people to have positions of power, perhaps even the devil puts them in that position, that God will be glorified. You know, we don't understand the ways of the Lord. Remember the disciples? I'm just thinking of that passage where they asked the Lord, "That man was born blind. Okay, God, who sinned? Did he sin? Did his parents sin?" And you know what his response was? "Neither, but that the glory of God should be revealed in him." Of course, he healed him. And so we don't understand the ways of the Lord. His ways are higher than our ways, his thoughts than our thoughts. But God is wanting to bring us into greater and greater knowledge that we can trust his ways. And so when we look around at the evil, the terrible corruption that is in our government and governments of the world, he's saying that the wicked will be cut down. Let me just read a few. I could read this whole psalm. It's magnificent. But let me just read a few excerpts to encourage those who get very frustrated when you watch the news, okay? "The wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth." This is verse 12. Verse 13 says, "The Lord shall laugh at him." Why? "For he seeth that his day is coming." That's why we don't have to be fretful against the evildoers, against the workers of iniquity. His day, their day, is coming. "The wicked have drawn out the sword. They've bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of an upright conversation." Listen to what verse 15 says. "Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken." And I'm going to skip. "The arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous." "The wicked shall perish," verse 20, "and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke, shall they consume away." I'm moving on down. "Depart from," I'm going to throw this, just so good, "depart from evil and do good for and dwell forevermore." All right. "I have seen," the verses, verse 35, "I've seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree." Do you suppose that was not just true only in David's time? I think we've seen, as we watch the news, many that could apply to. "Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found." Verse 38, "But the transgressors shall be destroyed together, and the end of the wicked shall be cut off." Hallelujah. "But, beloved, the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble." All right. Well, I took a bunny trail, a rabbit, a detour, but let's go back now to this verse and what are the things that we can learn and apply to our own lives. Verse 2, it says, "Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." Beloved, that requires faith. And this isn't just talking about natural food. We need to trust in the Lord and do good. and we will dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed, regardless, not just the physical, natural needs, but the spiritual and emotional needs. Beloved, that's why, you know, when I think about our relationships, think about marriage, that most sacred of all covenants, that's not going to satisfy your loneliness, not truly. I mean, we cannot look to another human being to satisfy the deepest needs that we have. Is marriage blessed of God, and is it not wonderful? Of course, my goodness, it's a representation of Christ in the church. But we need to be in a mature place emotionally and spiritually that it will be the true blessing of the Lord that God desires, that Christian marriage would be a testimony to the goodness of God. That Hebrew word for trust used in this verse means to be confident, to be sure, to be bold, to put confidence, to trust. And it also means a place of refuge and safety, a place of security, having the feeling of trust, secure, and assurance. And if we trust in the Lord and do good, God said we would dwell in the land and be fed. That is, whatever your needs are, not just the physical needs for food, although that's certainly valid, but your spiritual needs, your emotional needs for to be appreciated, to belong, to be a part of, He's going to satisfy those. But we need to seek Him first. And then, as we seek His kingdom first, what? You know, all these other things will be added to us. Let's go down now to verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. When we put our trust in the Lord, we're putting ourselves, as it were, in His hands, and we can rest in complete assurance that all God's promises are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. Praise God. You could spend hours just preaching on one of these verses. What does it mean? That's a whole other message. What does it mean to delight yourself in the Lord? But if you put Him first, if you want to please Him, if you want to do the things that would bring joy to His heart, then you know what? He loves you so much. He is going to give you then the things that you desire. But so often we put the cart before the horse. We say, Lord, give me the desires of my heart, and then I'll delight myself in You. Well, that's not what the scriptures say or the order in which it places it, isn't it? It says, you delight yourself in God, and therefore, thereafter, He will give you the desires of your heart. All right, moving on. In verse 5, it says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. That Hebrew word for commit is galal, and it means to commit or to trust, to roll away, to roll together, to roll down. And it also means to wallow. Again, you have vision of a pig rolling over in the mud. Or some animal, you know, just, or a horse, you know, turning over or in the field. Sometimes this is farmland around here. You see a horse just laying down and kind of scratching its back to wallow. My, oh my. Think about this. God does not want us to be half-hearted in our part. He doesn't want our efforts half-hearted. When we commit our way to the Lord, He wants us to give all that we've got, to wallow, as it were, in the truth and the beauty and the fact and the reality of His promises. He wants us to roll away the stone of doubt that would try to seal up our hearts from believing God wants to, and that He will meet your every need. He wants us to roll together, as it were, into the mainstream of God's absolutes and His I will. Can you imagine how many times I will is in the Bible, in Scripture? But if we will trust Him, isn't that right? If we will trust Him, He will commit our way to the Lord, He will bring it to pass. When we do these things, then we can roll down the thoughts of fear, the thoughts of unbelief, and just stuff them, throw them, if you will, into the furnace of God's anointing, where they will be burned up and we will be free, free, free to see God moving in our behalf, whereby we know that He will supply our needs, all of our needs, needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And that's Philippians 4:19. I just want to stop for a moment and pray. Father, in Jesus' name, you see many that need to do this very thing. Father, our lack of faith, fear, unbelief, all kinds of things prevent us from just really, truly committing our way to you, knowing that the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Father, we just release ourselves into your hands, and we commit our way, and we trust, Lord, that you are going to establish our goings. Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. For the word of the Lord would come to you, my beloved. Faint not. And be not afraid, for I am with you, and I am making a way for you, says the Lord. I am causing you to move into a new place in your God. I am bringing you into higher ground where you shall be able to see that indeed the Lord is faithful to those who have been faithful to their God. And I will cause you to break forth on the left and on the right, and I shall increase you, says the Lord. The Lord says, enlarge the place of your tent. Yea, stretch forth the curtains of your habitation. Strengthen your stakes. Hallelujah. And move forth into the very promises of your God, for I shall bring an increase that shall strengthen you and encourage you and delight your heart in the days ahead. And you shall see that I have heard your prayers, that I have not turned a deaf ear, but my eyes are upon you, my eyes are upon the righteous. Yea, and I shall cause, yea, the joy of your heart to be full, for you shall see those things that you have asked of me. Lo, many days ago, even many years, they shall come into fruition in the days ahead. Trust me, believe me, and praise me, says your God. Amen and amen. And we do praise you, Lord. So many we have waited for so long, but the days of outpouring, the days of ingathering, the days of revival are ahead. In fact, they're breaking loose right now. Praise God. Prepare your hearts, beloved, to receive more from God. Amen. Well, my time is gone. And again, I just want to remind you, I haven't had a chance to talk about it, but Which Way Are You Running, at least on this broadcast, a booklet that Brother Glass did decades ago. We had a physician requested for her pastor and congregation, and I thought, well, I might as well make it available to the listening audience. So won't you write, send your mailing address, and know that I pray for you every day. Include your prayer requests. Till tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.